Welcome to Como Estas, episode 4. We're back here in the hotel room after another day of seeing a lot of luchadors. Probably more luchadors we saw in one day than any other day so far, because today was the day we got to go to Expo Mascaras, and we went to the IWL third anniversary show.
Marathon.
The usual IWL extravaganza. Rob's here again.
What's up, everybody? We're in a room. This time we don't have an audience. We just have Cecilia and Black Terry, who's just watching us on the floor. Audience. He does not want to be on the podcast.
we tried, but we didn't have enough pesos to get them on.
We did do a mini question and answer period with Black Terry, so we will talk about that after we run down the IWL show. So if you're looking to hear about that, you might want to fast forward about 3.5 hours.
No.
That's how long it's going to take to run down this show.
Before we went to the IWL show, we went to the Expo Mascaras in Centro Civico de... I'm losing my mind here. We went to the Expo...
No.
we went to the Expo Mascaras show this afternoon. In a lovely indoor location, which was good because it rained a lot of the day and heavy a lot of times.
We took the metro. It took, like, what, an hour to get there?
Yeah, we took the metro and then we took a taxi the rest of the way. It's Centro Civico Nueva Aragon in Atapac, right outside the city in Estadio de Mexico.
It's basically like, if you're a U.S. fan, it would be like going to a show inside an armory.
Yeah, it's that kind of feeling. There were gimmick tables set up all around the outside, inside the building, but around the edges of the building. You could see different, as compared to what we're seeing around the Arena Mexico, this is more for the older wrestler who just happened to be there. So if you were looking for specific, like, some of the wrestlers, we saw Gallo Tapatio Junior there, and you could get his mask and some of his pictures and that sort of stuff. It was more indie guys, it was more older guys than you have got to see elsewhere, but you got to see a different selection of stuff than you would have seen elsewhere.
I marked out right when we were walking in, because for some reason some fan was wearing a Joe Sakic jersey, Colorado Avalanche. Like, where do these people find this stuff? But we went in there and we met... Who would people listening know? I guess Homer Bala was there, aka the Monster from AAA. He said his son was actually supposed to be there, but then he had to do something else. His son would be the one in CMLL right now. Super Muñeco was there. Ice Killer was there. The whole family of Ice Killers was there. And that's about it that people know. We talked to Gallo Taparo Jr.
We talked to, was it Alice the Diablo, the wrestler who, we had talked to him, but we saw him there. The wrestler lost his leg in a motorcycle accident. He seems to be getting along well on his new prosthetic leg.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Coco Rojo was there.
Yeah. Oh, Enrique Vera was there?
Yes, he stopped by late.
Enrique Vera.
Yes. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Who else did we see? Was it Junior Enrique? Well, we saw wrestlers.
We saw wrestlers, yes.
We picked up some magazines. You picked up a lot of magazines.
I picked up a bunch of magazines because I love collecting magazines. So I basically picked up all the ones from the mid-90s that were available.
Besides the places where you could buy merchandise, they also had rings up in the middle. They had an hour before... After we got there, they ran the show. It was mostly young guys who were just learning their way in the ring. And they did not have chairs, so you weren't sitting there. You were still standing around, so you could still stand around, go look at a table while you were there.
But I missed the entire first match because I was just shopping, but you saw it. And
yeah.
You want to give you a rundown?
The matches themselves, I think you... Given where the guys are at the level, you kind of, there's a reason why there's no chairs there because they're not really promoting those matches because there are guys just who don't really have names and are just figuring stuff out. In fact, we had trouble figuring out who some of the guys were because it was just kind of generic guys and they didn't really have entrance music. What we had instead is that on one of the tables was selling the Lucha Libre music on CDs and stuff, so they just kept playing random wrestler themes throughout the whole show. It just gave you kind of a weird feel at times.
It's very, if you've ever been to like tiny shows in the U.S., I'm not talking about like the big independent groups like ROH and PWG and all that, but like really, really tiny shows. It's basically like that. They just play generic music. The guys walk out of a backstage area through a door or something. Yeah. And half the guys are wrestling in not even gear. They're just wrestling in whatever they wore. One guy was wearing tennis shoes. Another guy was just wrestling basically in a T-shirt and the pants he wore to the building. And they just put on masks since they're in Mexico. The second match...
The first match was, I believe, Black Interpic and Kid Boy. We got help with the names from the ring announcer, which was nice. Versus Jaguar and I think it's Aero Tiger, maybe? What helped following the match was that the Rudos were all in black. Well, Rudos were in negro, Tecnicos in blanco. So we knew what the good guys were. I was amused during the match because they did dives out of the ring. And while they were out of the ring, the arena has some holes in the ceiling. So a guy stuck his mop in and wiped off the water in the ring while they were outside. It seemed like these guys had their match figured out. They had the big spots figured out, but they did not have the basics really down at this point. They were interested in doing like the frugal stuck a stand on the ropes. So your guy dives through the leg spot, but the basics. Keeping things in order wasn't really working out for them.
This wasn't really a show where you go to if you're a hardcore fan. I mean,
it's something to look at while you're shopping.
Yeah, it's basically, they were just guys there working. I mean, actually, there were like four referees, which was interesting for such a tiny show. But this is more of just, you know, if you live in the area and you want to wrestle, the only way to learn is to actually, you know, wrestle in front of a crowd. So there were people there, and there were people in the ring. It was basically... I would call it an extended training session, you know. The guys just going through their stuff, doing the moves they wanted to do. And a couple guys looked impressive. I think the only actual memorable match would be the one where Ice Killer's son was in the ring.
Yeah, that was we stuck around for four of the matches, and then we had to take off to get to the IWL show and eat beforehand. The Rudos won the opener that I saw. The second match was better. Then that first match, I think there was a guy wearing silver who I do not know which name he belongs to.
I'm going to go with Nova Sonic. No, Especial, and he was facing Nova Sonic.
Yeah.
Because they appeared to be friends, and they were pulling off some good stuff.
Especial kind of had a mask that looked like Superfly, maybe a little bit.
Something like that.
And he seemed more polished than some of the other guys who were in those early matches.
You can tell who are the people who are like wrestling fans, because they were doing big-time moves. They, you know, Spanish Fly, that inverted powerbomb style move that they pulled off. Whereas the other people that were there, the ones that weren't as advanced, were just kicking, punching, and slamming each other down. The one thing we forgot to mention, or was it this match where the referee refused to count three?
That was later on. The Rudos won by just dropping their technicos on their necks really hard.
Excellent. That's always a good finish.
Yeah.
And then
the third match was a weird singles match.
Yeah, where two guys just came out, presumably two rookies. And they did their stuff. They did a couple of arm drags. I don't remember if there were any dives, but we were so confused because they kept the technical, I think, kept rolling up the Rudo, and the referee would count one, two, and then just stop. Refused to count to three. And this happened, I'm not even joking, this happened four times in a row. And I just figured they were two rookies who got something wrong, and the referee just wasn't going to let them finish the match until they got it right.
And at least a couple of them, the shoulders weren't down like they were supposed to. They weren't doing the moves like they were supposed to be doing, right. And they may have been out there to practice doing the moves a little bit better before they'd be freed.
Pretty much, just on-the-job training, exactly what this was. And finally, the ref counted to three and put us out of our misery.
I believe it was the Rudo, maybe, who won. He had the red scorpion mask. Their match wasn't even listed on the card as far as we have it, so they may have just shown up during the show and got thrown on the card.
Since there was no lineup or anything,
There was a lineup for first couple, the top two matches, but the undercard was based on whoever didn't have work that day or whatever.
So I used my phone to take a picture. We got the promoter to show us the paper where everybody was written down when they're coming out and all that. So I took a picture with my phone, but it's hard to decipher even what's on this paper. But Yeah, so that match ended, and then we moved on to the Ice Killer Jr. match.
Yeah, the main event for us was...
There was that Kaye 13 match in between.
Oh, that's right. Kaye 13, star from New Japan.
Superstar, yes.
Yes. Had a match, I don't remember...
We should explain that comment. He claims he's a New Japan superstar.
He claimed he went to a Super Juniors tournament. Maybe, you know, there's some small promotion that we don't know about because we don't follow Japan that closely that he went to. But,
perhaps.
But it seemed like maybe he was telling some tall tales.
Considering he's about 400 pounds.
Yeah.
And about 5'6".
Yeah.
He's no Super Junior.
I know the Rudos won that match. I know it was Soldado, the Diablo's team that won. I remember there was something where they were just all stopping guys down for a while. It didn't have much flow, that match, if I remember right.
It didn't, but they built to the dives at the end, which was kind of funny because I'm going to guess it was this guy named Frile who climbed to the top rope.
Oh, yeah.
And he tried to do a dive, but he kind of slipped and just kind of lunged at his opponent.
Fell off, almost.
So what they ended up doing was they waited for the other two guys to do their dives, including somebody named Zandor, who did a great, like, springboard somersault dive right in front of us.
Yes.
Which was pretty crazy, considering the ground in that building wasn't covered by anything, and he just went splat.
Right in the cement.
So then Frile got back into the ring with his opponent, sent him outside again, and basically redid his dive.
I think that the pronouncing of again is the most Canadian thing you've done on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, these names I've never heard of before, so I'm better with names I'm used to.
Yeah, but the dives were good, but the match...
The match was what you expect on a show like this. What are you going to do?
And so from there, the last match we saw was a trios match that had Abigo del Diablo, a women's wrestler, Estrella de Oriente, and
who was very popular with his girlfriend and his friends.
Yes, but not the other wrestlers.
No.
And was it Mana Ferrer? Audis?
Montana.
Montana?
Mountain?
Oh, Montana. And I'm looking at Rudos. I'm turning right. Another word. Versus Cafan Jr. I have Abogado on both teams, which is kind of probably screwed up because I probably should have. Because Abogado was on the technical team, so I don't know who the woman was on the other team. And is it Love Boy or is it
Local Boy?
Local Boy. Maybe it was just a local boy who showed up. He pulled him off the street. Really, it doesn't matter who else was in there. I thought Abogado was a good technica for what she was in, but the start of the match was Mini Ice Killer Hiroko, as seen on many a Ring Extremo YouTube video. We got to see him live in person, and he stole the show, basically.
Let's explain. Ice Killer, Mini Ice Killer is actually like Ice Killer Jr. He's not a mini. He's a child, maybe 7 or 8 years old. And this guy knows more about the business than anybody who was on this show, and maybe most of the wrestlers on the IWL show. This guy worked the crowd. Before the match even started, he asked for the microphone, which they didn't give him.
No, microphone didn't reach that far.
But then he yelled out, this is a 7 or 8 year old kid, by the way. He yelled out he needs a woman to enter the ring. So a young girl, maybe approximately his same age, entered the ring. He gave her a mask of his own, and he posed for a picture with her. And then he gave her a nice kiss on the cheek.
Yes.
It was the most adorable thing you've ever seen. And this kid, you know, he wasn't just good with that. During the match, he was the one getting the crowd into the match. He knew exactly when to get them to cheer things or chant certain things, you know, like Rudos or Technicos or... You know, just make he was making the crowd laugh, basically. And it all built up to the spot where finally he got into the ring to do some spots. And he actually had the most innovative move of the show where he, like, did a 360 into some head scissors.
Yeah.
Which is easy to do when you're basically being moved around by your opponent. But it's kind of funny to see everybody selling for him. And during the Rudo beatdown, he was actually, like pulling guys four times his size around the ring. And he was just going.
The technicals were trying to get back in the ring, and he was the guy paying attention enough to run over and stop them when they were trying to get in. So
this guy's going to be a star.
He's a ring general at this point.
Yeah, we'll be here in 10 years watching this guy main event, the 90th anniversary show.
Was it his team that won that match?
Of course. Why would Ice Killer Jr. lose?
Yeah, so that was the last match we stuck around for, and we had to take off to go to the IWL show until...
But we didn't see what the main event was.
Oh, yeah. Well, we saw that it was going to be a junior's tag match with Climax Jr. and Galo Tapatio Jr. versus... What was the other team?
Rolling Boy?
Climax.
Climax
and Rolling Boy against... Gallo Taparo Jr.
Gallo Taparo Jr.
I thought Gallo Taparo and Climax were partners.
Yes. And Andy Barrow.
Oh, yeah, it's a juniors promotion. Andy Barrow has to be there.
Right.
But we did not get to find out who won the big juniors tag match. We'll have to find out later who the champion is.
Mm-hmm.
So
we took off from there. We went straight to the IWL show, which involved... How did we get there? We took a taxi, two taxis.
We took a taxi to the metro, right. And then we got off at the Autobus North Station, and we took another taxi there because, especially when you, the deal is once you get out of the border between Distro Federal and Estadio de Mexico requires you really to switch taxi rides, even if you weren't taking a metro. So, as we found out on the way back.
Yeah, you have to take two cabs. So it's a bit of a travel to get to these shows. But if you're going with someone and who knows where they're going, and obviously we were, it's actually not that difficult at all. But yeah, navigating it without Black Terry, we probably would have been completely lost because these buildings were nowhere near each other.
And now Estadio de Mexico looks more like maybe more like a U.S. city or maybe even a U.S. suburb. It's not as compressed together with, there's not as many stores on the sidewalks. The building we went to, Centro de Convenciones, it's just normal convention center. It's not part of a bigger building like we saw with the arenas in Mexico City. So it kind of had a different feel, but it was a much bigger inside than anything we've been in except, I think it's bigger than Arena Nasopan inside, but it's not bigger than Arena Mexico.
This was the same building that had a DTU versus IWL show, so there's room for two rigs to be set up.
Yeah.
To give you an idea of what the size would be like.
There was room to set up a lot of bleachers that no one really used, too.
Right. Actually, that's the one first thing I learned is that we bought tickets for the second row, and we basically could have bought any price ticket and just sat exactly, anywhere we wanted.
Yeah, as friends proved to us later in the show as they came back and sent the third row to talk to us.
Right. A couple friends from our IWRG show visited us, but we won't reveal who they were. But they were at the show enjoying themselves, watching some friends wrestle. And before we went in, we met AAA superstar Flamita,
yeah,
who was waiting outside for something. We're not sure what, but we introduced ourselves. Very nice guy. Right. And
you got a picture with him later.
Yeah, later on, actually, in his match, he did a dive, gave me the thumbs up, which was awesome. I totally marked out. And then after the match, fans were throwing money into the ring, so he came to our area and posed for a picture with me. It was pretty cool, actually, because he kind of singled me out. He knew that I was waiting. So continues the trend of all luchadors being extremely nice.
Yeah, we haven't run into a nice, mean person. Even Gael Tapatia, who, if you follow the Lucha Wiki way too closely, you've noticed that we've had some issues with the data on this thing. He politely explained his side about why we should have some stuff that we've taken off, and we probably will go back up there as soon as we have the chance to do that.
But like everybody's put over Lucha Wiki on the trip so far, say it's an invaluable service, which I agree with, obviously. And basically, Cubs is the most popular guy here. You would think that he'd be the most hated, considering how people treat him on the internet. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but everybody loves him except Lord Byron Elias.
No, he's probably fine, too. He's probably forgot why he was mad at me in the first place. This is a weird comparison, and I don't think it's making any sense to anyone in the room, but there was a point where Bob Sapp was very popular in Japan, and no one knew who he was in the U.S., and there's no one putting me in commercials, but it's like a completely different change when I go to Mexico City than if I went to any place in the U.S. People know my name. It's very, very strange to me. But
you're talking about Bob Sapp, who's an MMA fighter and wrestles in Japan.
Yes.
And you expect me to connect with this somehow?
No, I'm telling the podcast listeners. I don't really care about you.
Okay.
The IWL show was listed as starting at 6:30. I think at 6:30 we were still standing in line. We hadn't been standing in line for 15, 20 minutes at that point.
Trying to cover up from the pouring rain.
Yeah. They eventually let us in the building. The show started a little bit after 7, I think.
It was pretty late. All the wrestlers came in through the front entrance, just like on the Now Kapan show. So a lot of people were posing for pictures with the wrestlers. We saw Loco Max go in. We saw Zumbi go in. Basically everybody, except the big stars. The big stars, I assume, they showed up much later because it was a long show, so they could avoid the crowd by just coming late.
I think we saw Justin Krebel walk through the front door too, right?
Probably. They didn't leave him in the hotel like Tommy Dreamer?
No, they did not. When we went in, the first thing we saw was Tashir Kaida trying to figure out how to plug in their camera in the setup. The
Tashir Kaida crew, yeah.
They used a lot of tape.
Bernardo, Jose Manuel were there, so the show will presumably air at some point on TVC de Deportes, so yeah. You can look for us.
It will probably air in Tashir Kaida in the least part. The
clips will air, yeah, for sure. And we ran into Noriko again.
Yes.
Who's been following us all over, it seems. Or we've been following her. I guess she's used to that.
Yeah, I know. Don't stalk people. just everyone, stop stalking people. As you would expect for the IWL card, we got the program as we went in. As I'm looking at it right now, I'm going to make noise so people can play time snap this. Like, I remember what time snaps are. And the lineup they posted, the lineup they handed out, kind of resembled the lineup, but there were a lot of changes in the undercard, and there were matches added that weren't even advertised.
It's actually fun. Guys just randomly show up, and you don't even know if they're in a match or what match we're on, what match is coming next.
And it was people I was actually I was happy and curious to see that I wasn't expecting to see in this trip. Unfortunately, the show started with three guys who did not have a particularly good match. It was the Pequeño Gigante is according to the card, but it was really the mascots. Chamal, Guapito, and Galito Feliz.
Galito Feliz. He's a happy clown.
Guapito, you know from AAA. The other two work in Hidalgo a lot against each other. So they you would think they would have had experience working together, and they did do more spots. Did a lot more than they did with Guapito, who was pretty much limited to chops and kicks. But the match itself was really slow to get starting, and it was really not well done once it got going.
This match, I lost a lot of my life watching this match. This match went on forever. I had it timed at over 20 minutes, and the first 5 minutes were just basically all of them yelling stuff at the crowd and walking around and not even locking up. I mean, Larry Zbyszko would be very happy with this type of match. They did nothing, and then finally when they did lock up, it was a lot of messy stuff. And Guapito would come in to break up holds. He wouldn't actually get in the ring. I should mention, Guapito looks very old in person.
Yeah.
Much older than you would think. His age has caught up with him, I guess. Or whatever he does outside the ring has caught up with him.
It's a hard life being that pretty, I guess.
Yes.
Galito has a really cool... The one thing I could say positively is a cool top rope senton Kangiro
he did it twice.
He did it once and didn't bother to go for a pinfall, and then he did it the second time to actually win the match. Yep. Guapito went out first, and then Chamal went out. Chamal, who's looking like the Joker these days, went out second, and that was the match finally over.
That was that. And the other thing we should mention is that they have Erekanas there, four of them, who they call them the Chicas Explosivas.
Who came out before every single match.
Every match in a different outfit, posing for pictures with the crowd.
They had the title belts before the first one, and I couldn't figure out because one of them obviously was a title they were giving at the end, but they had a second title belt. And it wasn't the IC belt because that was hanging from the ceiling the whole night.
So. I have no idea. But if you're wondering why IWL shows go so long, it's because of stuff like this. Yeah. Literally 5 minutes for the Erekanas to come out. They're not dancing or anything. They're just walking around the ring. They walk into the ring. Then they have to be helped out of the ring.
Yeah.
So this really takes a lot of your time.
And they stop to take a lot of photos with people, too, along the way. The next match is listed on the card as a Trinario Cybernetico. So imagine your surprise when it goes like 15 minutes and there's no pin at all. And they're just getting all their moves in. There's a lineup we have here. And that if you looked at the poster, you would be able to see. But the lineup they had.
Can I give a shot at the names?
Yeah. Well, no. You can give a shot at the names. But the problem is, it's a 10-man Cybernetico, and there were actually 12 people. It was a 6-on-6 tag. And we see people from that match were actually in other matches.
Gotita de Plata from AAA Fusion fame is listed, but he was not in this match.
Flystar, who we met after the show.
Right. Turns out he was
within the match because his chest was completely red.
We did not know this, but we found out later he was in the match.
You know, they do the announcements and everyone does them, but it's tough to make them out over
most 12 guys basically come out at the same time. It's hard to know who's who. I mean, you can pick out the guys like Medics 3 because he was wearing a doctor outfit and the number 3 on him.
And Medics 1 who was almost as fat.
You know what's also strange is now I'm noticing the Monster 2 was listed to be in this match.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but I did see him later on.
Yeah, he came out later in the show with his mask on, but in street clothes, so I'm wondering if he was hurt or something.
The one thing that, or I keep saying that, but something that I noticed about the show is that IWL definitely has their fans.
Yeah.
They know who the wrestlers mm-hmm. are. They have personalized chants for all of them. So for us, it was kind of confusing, mm-hmm. but when two guys would enter the ring, some chant would start up, and these IWL fans, they know, they pay to see these guys, so they're familiar with them, and they're happy, you know, even if they're in a 12-man tag, they're just happy that these guys are on the show.
Speaking of the fans, in the first show we saw, I would say there may be 25, 35, 40 people at
most. Maybe, if you're generous.
At most. At this show, I would say, how many people would you have said turned out for IWL?
It's tough. I want to say about 250, 300 maybe?
Yeah, maybe a little more than that, but that's kind of the range. And it was a place where they could have sat maybe 5-6 times that.
Pretty much. I mean, it was pretty spread out. You had the people in the bleachers who couldn't come down, and that was very full. And then on the floor, you only had a couple rows on one side, and then a whole bunch of people on the other side.
Yeah.
But they were very loud.
Yeah. It was a loud crowd.
And drunk.
Yes. Yes. They were very happy. They were very into the show because of what they had been taking during, what they'd been drinking during the show. But yeah.
Right. Which is why I was pretty sure La Parca was going to kill somebody by the end of the night.
Okay. From this match, I can tell you that we saw Brazo Jr. was in there. He was okay.
Sucked.
Kid Jaguar, who, for the one person who saw Lucha Libre shows with me in Chicago, or saw the same ones, if you remember El Tigre, he looks about exactly the same, except Kid Jaguar does more fake karate. Medix was in that match. I thought we saw Epidemia and Heavy Boy on opposite teams.
Yeah, Epidemia was definitely in there.
He was pretty good. I have him. The mysterious orange guy who we originally thought was Gotita.
Yeah, it turns out wasn't.
But I thought he was good.
Yep.
But really, the match really
finish. Everybody just wants us to get to the finish at this point.
The match itself, because it was 12 guys and everyone trying to get in their stuff, it really didn't have any flow. And it just kind of suddenly ended when Brazo Jr. went up to the top, it was, I think, top rope to do like a backwards
elbow.
A backwards splash. It wasn't really the senton. It was just kind of.
He just fell back.
He missed whichever, the fat medic, Medic 3, and Medic 3 pinned him.
For the first elimination, or so we thought.
And then
but no.
Everyone got their hand raised, and that was it.
They just announced, hey, the match is over, everybody. And everybody kind of got in the ring, and all six Rudos raised their hands.
Yeah. And that was that.
There
were some confusions about what the rules of the match were on many different matches tonight.
Yeah, very, very confusing. I mean, imagine that, IWL. But the next match was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, so Gotita was not in that match, but it turns out he was put in a three-way match with Gotita and Flyer, who you may know as Volador Jr.'s younger brother.
Yes.
And was it Concord?
Concord, who we were told was very good.
Yes. And they did some really spectacular spots at times, but they also had a lot of spectacular things go wrong at times.
They had one thing go wrong big time where they went for the inverted wheelbarrow spot, where setting up for like a code red or some sort of fancy arm drag. And something went wrong where Flyer just dumped Gotita de Plata on his head at such a disgusting angle that you really need to go check out Black Terry's photos of this match because he got a great shot where you can see the sick angle that Gotita's head is or neck is bent at when he lands. And he got right back up and just kept going. Did the head scissors off the top, spinning Frankensteiner spot. Didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, this is a match where one or two spots are going to turn up on the Teixeira Casita top 10 moves of the week.
Oh, I would think so. They had a couple amazing dives.
But also maybe one or two spots is going to turn up on the negative top 10 they do.
Yeah, there could be a bunch from this night, actually. There.
Flyer beat Gotita first to eliminate him, and then he beat Concord, so he got both pins. He's wearing a mask right now. He's wearing basically Volador colors and the mask that's combined of Volador and Sin Cara.
Got a lot of Sin Cara chance.
Yeah. A lot of the fans were not afraid to taunt the luchadors about who they look like.
As the night went on, they were not afraid to taunt their mothers either.
Yes. The match after that was actually in order and the right people, which was the first. It was the Indestructible Base versus La Resistance. These guys wrestle in this area a lot. and show up on Rene Lopez Mateo shows from time to time, not all the time. Ultimo Vampiro is probably the best known guy in the Destructive Blaze. The guy who seemed the most over on the Resistance was Yoruba, who I saw his name, but I didn't even add him to like a on the database I do for the events until like a couple weeks ago. But to these guys, he was a big star that everyone's
the superstar of the match.
And then Shadow is another guy whose name I've seen a lot, and he had I think at least one thing that went wrong, but other times he looked pretty good in this match.
He's fine, yeah.
What did you think of the match?
It was okay. I mean, the Rudos did their stuff. The Technicals got to shine a bit. We knew the finish, I mean, right from the beginning, because Ultimo Vampiro brought in one of those old spray cans like Abismo Negro used to carry around. So we knew fire was going to be involved at some point. We were just waiting for it.
This was the first match of a few that turned really... It turned bloody, because after they did one cycle of everyone facing off, the Rudos who are the Destructive Blaze in this case, jumped the Technicos and brawled all the way outside. They brought the first light tubes of the match there and just killed the other team. I think Yoruba was bleeding bad from the back. I think a couple other guys were too.
The reason he grabbed the light tube is because this crowd was a very Lucha Extrema crowd. Yes. They wanted to see violence.
We saw a kid bring a whole bunch of light tubes.
Oh, yeah, fans had light tubes,
so,
for sure.
So they were waiting for them to use, and they got used here.
What I remember from this match, of course, is the dives.
Yes.
They built up to a dive train spot. By the way, four matches in a row with dive trains.
Yeah.
Where the first dive, I think it was Shadow, landed on the guardrail, not like when you land your back on the guardrail or your knees on the guardrail. He did a somersault, and his feet landed on the top of the guardrail where he could basically stand up on it. And that was right in front of us. And everybody else basically followed with a dive of their own. All good stuff. We saw Tope Suicida, Tornillo, and then the match came down to Ultimo Vampiro and...
And Shadow.
So, and then they had the finish, like I said, with the spray can of fire. Two, three.
And it's, obviously that feud is going to keep on going because those two teams feud in a lot of different arenas, so this is just a chance to do the feud in a bigger setting.
Yep.
After that, we had the three-way trios match.
Three-way trios match.
With nine different guys. We have the ATM team, which is ATM, ATM Gold, ATM Super, who are other guys who are around here wearing masks.
Get your mind out of the gutter, people. ATM does not stand for what you think it does.
No, it doesn't. Not anything about getting cash.
Right. That's not what I...
ATMs have all matching costumes but different colors, and the crowd liked them.
They look awesome.
In the way that they like chanting Power Raider at them all throughout the match, just taunting them for looking at like the Power Rangers. Freelance... Dynamic Black and Not Dead Pantera all looked pretty good. The other team was Hio de Fishman, Kung Fu, and Popo, who always seems to get booked for big shows and doesn't always... And I can't always figure out why, but he's been treated like a big star, and he was treated like one here. He had his son and another, maybe a second son, in a Volador outfit with them in the corner.
Just standing there, not even doing anything.
No, they weren't working spots. They just got to be part of the show. I think the highlight... This match was good. This was a better, more complete match than some of the other matches that happened before it.
This match was all about Freelance. Freelance was amazing. Actually, his team was pretty good. We had Dynamic Black pulling out some good stuff. Freelance did everything you expect. He dove into the crowd. He did a Frankensteiner. There were triple dive spots. The ATM guys looked fine catching.
Yeah.
And I thought that those were the two teams that basically held this match together.
Yeah, the juniors team was highlighted by Popo somehow going last in the dive train and doing the lamest possible, like, jump, super porky, like, plancha off the apron, except he doesn't have super porky
screws. The crowd basically laughed at him.
Yes, that was pretty bad.
But they did, it was good to see Dynamic Black live, because we didn't get to see him on the IWRG show. And it was good to see Pantera 1 is still alive.
Yeah.
Not dead yet.
Not dead. Unless they kill him off again.
Right.
ATM Gold got the win. Freelance did a top rope Hurricanrana on Fishman Jr.
Right.
And then went back up for another move, and ATM Gold snuck in and got the pin. And
stole the pin.
At this point, we thought it was an elimination match because it just... For a second, we thought it was an elimination match, but
Nobody moved. They just stood on the apron.
They all pretended like they were going to keep on going. It was clear that some of the guys in the match thought it was an elimination match, even though they had been breaking up pins the whole night.
Right.
So, Freelance...
grabbed the microphone.
Yeah.
Challenged ATM Gold to an impromptu mask versus hair match. So you know how this usually goes. You know, in 5 seconds, Freelance pins him, and then ATM Gold says, no, this wasn't a sanctioned match. But this is IWL, where everything is backwards at times. So what happened was they fought. They did, like, two near falls.
They did. Usually in these situations, it's a sunset flip or a torito that ends it, and they actually did one, and ATM Gold kicked out.
Near fall.
And then they went to the same spot as if it was a screw-up, except ATM Gold powerbombed them that time, and that was the end of that.
Basically, Freelance challenged him to a mask versus hair match, said that he stole the pin from him in the previous match, and then looked like an idiot by getting pinned 1-2-3 clean.
And no one got their head shaved, and no one lost their mask.
They didn't get his head shaved.
They didn't even really emphasize. ATM Gold didn't make a case of it. They just kind of went on with their lives.
Their time was up, and they left.
Yeah, so that was just very, very strange. After that, we had the WWE Trios title match.
Most shocking match of the night, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I was surprised that it happened.
That it was actually good.
I didn't really like that match as much as I think you did.
No, I loved it. These guys came out. I mean, when you're talking about Trio Fantasia, these are all old men, just under Pinocchio, Super Raton, and Super Muñeco masks. But they're really old men, and the first spot of the match was Super Raton or Super Pinocchio jumping to the floor, totally missing his opponent and diving right on his chest, basically with Tope Suicida. And then from then on, they just started tearing into each other, brawling. You had the masks being ripped up. You had blood all over. Imagine Super Muñeco, Super Rat, and Super Pinocchio walking around covered in the blood of their opponents.
The red blood on Pinocchio's yellow shirt.
It looked awesome.
It really, really stood out. It looked like he'd been in a war.
Oh, yeah. And they were using chairs. They were beating on each other. And I don't know. What did you think? Because you didn't like it. So why didn't you like it?
I mean, I guess I just didn't. They still seemed like very old men who were trying to get by as if they were not older men. I mean, Super Pinocchio in particular looks so fat.
Yeah.
He's so out of shape. It's tough to take him seriously.
But listen, you can't fault them for the effort here. I mean, they tore into each other. The crowd loved it.
There was a lot of blood on both sides. I mean, Phantasma de la Opera was just bleeding greatly from the head by the end of the match.
The crowd was big time into chanting for the Trio Fantasia, but I'm not sure if that was more of like they were just amusing themselves by doing it. They didn't really want them to win, but they just thought it'd be funny to keep chanting for like Super Raton and Super Pinocchio.
I would say the technicals dominated most of the match, which probably was part of the worked backwards from the finish, because in the end, there was a chain thrown in by someone on the outside. Super Muñeco got the chain, swung it around. It was one of the Rudos who threw it in. So Muñeco got it anyways. So and swung it around, and hit the referee in the back of the head.
It's actually funny.
And then was it that...
He got low blowed
at that point.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it was Super Pinocchio's random valet, who's never named, did not look in any better shape than anyone else on her team who threw in the chain for whatever reason.
Right.
I guess that was a reason for being there, is to throw that chain in for the finish. So Super Muñeco gets fouled. It was a Carter Brava who pinned him.
1-2-3.
But Muñeco was like at a 45-degree angle on the mat, making sure that all the photographers could see that his left shoulder was one of his shoulders away off the mat.
Professionalism.
So that you knew that when he lost and when they lost after a year-plus title reign, that they didn't really lose this. It took a chain, a foul, and he wasn't still pinned in the end.
But they got the titles. The Rudos rewarded the titles. Everybody was very happy. And then we found out.
Well, we found out that Carter Brava's mother had recently passed away, and everyone
as in today.
Yes. But he worked the show anyways, and everyone came out to express their sorrow about the situation.
Pretty much. And it was very touching, actually.
Yeah, I think Trio Fantasia was we're already scheduled to do a title rematch after that. And so they did the promo as if they were mad about the finish and about making the challenge. And
this was after the whole... They kind of made themselves scarce during the time where everybody was chanting for Carta Brava, and they picked them up on their shoulders to celebrate.
I think they were going to do the match anyways, and they didn't need to build it up, that they might have found the better way to do it in that occasion than doing the "I'm angry about what just happened" when we're talking about someone's mom who just died.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a perspective issue, I guess.
Yep. What was up next?
The next match I have...
Go through your giant notebook of notes. Yeah, by the way, everybody, Cubs fan is one of those fans who takes notes while he watches the matches.
When I have to do a podcast about it later, I do do that. The next match was the Pureros versus the sort of DTU team. It was Ovette, Perico, Leon Rojo, and Angel Odimino versus Iroboy, Violent Jack, Demente Extreme, and Hormiga.
DTU team, who came out in Mexican gear?
Yes, that never made any sense, except that they probably had leftover from their tour of Japan.
Probably. This crowd, this is the match I think the crowd actually came to see.
Yes.
They were super hyped.
Los Poros, IWL is booked around Los Poros a lot, yeah, and for good reason after seeing the show. Those are their heroes.
Basically, yeah. The crowd was super happy when they started to set up the light tubes and the tables before the match, just to get them in place.
Yeah.
So they were already super into waiting for the match to begin. And then, of course, right away they went to the light tube shot. So if you were sitting as close as we were, you were ducking out of the way many times, stuff flying towards your direction.
There was a wood table light tube set up on the guardrail on our side. And I was just waiting all match for someone to get thrown into it. And then the light tubes exploded all over us. But they actually took like half the light tubes off them to use different parts of the match and then use the table in a different way.
They brawled into the crowd. They brawled up the lighting stand near us.
I didn't see as much of the match as you did because the guy in front of me was really enjoying the show and really enjoying drinking. So he was a big Poros fan, had a Poros t-shirt, but took it off to put it on the table. I guess he wanted to be part of the match somehow and never really were.
No.
But the problem was that the shirt was covering up the fact that his pants were way too low and we saw way too much of his backside throughout the whole match.
You did. I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, you had the better seat. I saw it. I think the person sitting next to me saw more than she wanted to see. So that was kind of an annoying distraction. The funny thing was that his girlfriend or his wife or whoever he was with, as soon as the light tubes came up, she left and she went up to she went as far away as she could just to make sure she didn't get the damage. And he spent half the match going crazy, cheering for Los Poros, and the other half waving at her from behind and trying to get her to come back. Eventually, at the end, she felt safe enough to come back and watch a match and saw a lot of blood being spilt and a lot of glass on that mat.
That was neat. I mean, I'm not a fan of extreme matches in general. I think they're stupid. I think people just kill themselves for no reason. But I do appreciate the fact that this is what the crowd wanted to see.
Yeah.
So the wrestlers gave them what they wanted. And so, I mean, when you're watching a hardcore match live, it's sort of a spectacle to hear, the light tubes being broken and to see the guys just taking vicious bumps through various setups, which, by the way, they needed help setting up. That's one of my pet peeves about hardcore matches, when you have three people on the floor setting up your next move.
Very AAA style.
And the finish of this match was especially, you had I think it was Angelo Demonio went to the top rope with one of the guys on the opposite, Violento Jack.
Yeah.
And they were battling on the top rope as if like setting up for a Super Frankensteiner or Spanish Fly or something, they couldn't keep their balance. So the referee was like holding Angelo Demonio up there, and they kind of played it as comedy at first, but you could tell he was really, really like not able to keep his balance. And they both went crashing through light tubes, chairs, a board, anything you can name. And then one of the other Poros came into the ring and put Angelo Demonio on top of Violento Jack for the 1-2-3. And then the crowd started throwing tons of money into the ring and chanting Esto es lucha.
Yes, they chanted that during the match too. This was the style. They had no problem with the style. This is what they wanted to see. It was also one of those matches where the problem with hardcore or extreme matches is that when you have the weapons and the tables set up outside the ring, the match is not going to really end until they used up all those weapons.
Yeah.
And that table was sitting there in front of us for a long time. Once they finally pulled it in, then I started to believe this match might actually end sometime soon.
Both teams put each other over afterwards on the microphone. Yeah. They shook hands. They shared the money that was thrown into the ring. And I think there's going to be a rematch. I mean, we have the lineup for the next show. There is going to be a rematch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a hardcore match. I mean, you get what you expect.
Yeah.
And then we move on.
Then we move on to the Intercontinental Ladders, the TLC match, even though there wasn't any tables and there were some chairs. But I don't remember any tables at all.
There was no climbing of ladders either. So technically it was just a match where somebody decided to win.
There was some ladder climbing. There were ladder spots.
I just love the ring entrances because these guys were coming out one by one and it seemed like it never stopped. It's like that at the circus when the car door opens and like 10 clowns come out and you never know when it's going to end. They just kept coming and coming. I mean, do you have the list of guys?
I have the list
through the list.
Because
I'll take a bathroom break.
Because I didn't believe at this point, I didn't trust the list that they had on program at all. So the list I have is Fresero, and then Pesadilla, and then Paranoia.
Toxico.
I get confused about who Pesadilla's partner is. But Toxico, Ninja de Fuego. Who is this name I have here? We have Freelance, but I skipped one here.
Mike Segura was there.
Mike Segura.
Loco Max, Tony Rivera.
Zumbido, Zombie, Ultimo Gladiator, Super Crazy.
And
I'm missing a name.
Flamita.
Here. Super Mega.
Super Mega, so that's 13.
Flamita was the name I can't read. Flamita.
So I've got 13 officially.
Yes.
And we're probably missing one or two.
No, that's all. I'm sure.
That's all? It was 13?
It was 13, but 13 people in the ladder match does not really work that well because people just disappear for long stretches. People fight on the outside and are doing big spots, but you can't see them because you're seeing something in the ring.
It was crazy because they didn't just take turns doing moves. They were just, everybody was brawling on the floor. Super Mega was like posing for pictures as the match was going on. So he wasn't really taking it too seriously. But I thought Flamita looked the best in this match. I'm not just saying that because he's my favorite, but he did a couple dives. He did the only spot off the ladder where he did a sunset flip powerbomb on Ultimo Gladiator, I think. And other than that, who else? I mean, Super Crazy was in the match, but didn't really do much.
But Super Crazy looked like he was half asleep at the start of the match to me.
Yeah.
And then
he was the last one introduced, too, so he was put over as a star.
He came in the ring and got knocked out. Actually, going back to the entrances, one thing I enjoyed is that they had the ladder set up in the middle of the ring, and half the guys, almost all the guys, would just walk, take a look at the ladder, start climbing up to see how it reached, and then it was Toxico a lot of the times. Told him, no, you can't do that yet. You have to come back down. Can't get the belt.
Yeah.
And then they took the ladder out for whatever reason. And so guys tried to they went on each other's shoulders to try to reach the belt.
Yeah.
Ultimo Gladiator gave Flamita a boost to see if he could grab it, and he could. So that was a very entertaining set of, if you're going to do 13 people, it's a very entertaining way to have 13 entrances.
Well, there were a ton of dives. What bothered me was, guys went for pinfalls. And the ref counted the pinfalls.
Yes, it's IWL, so that could have actually been legal, that you could have won the ladder match by pinning someone or submitting someone. But most of the time, you need to climb that ladder and actually untie the belt that's been sitting there for 3 hours at this point.
Apparently, Super Crazy was not happy that the match went this way. And
I wasn't happy either.
Voiced his displeasure.
I'm not Super Crazy, though.
Who ended up winning, by the way? Super Crazy is your new IWL lightweight?
Intercontinental
champion, sure.
Okay, the finish, I enjoyed the finish because it was crazy, and I think Zumbido maybe?
Yeah, they blew a roll-up.
They were fighting, and while they were fighting, Tony River comes back in the ring, sets up the ladder, and then just walks out of the ring. Because he was just there to get the ladder in position so Crazy could climb up. And when Crazy climbed up, there was no one around to stop him. Guys did try to get back in, but they were held back. But usually there's some dramatic part to it, and it was just Crazy climbing up the ladder, and he got the belt, and that was the end of that.
A couple of guys took themselves out with dives, so that's explained. But there were other guys who you just have no idea where they went. They were just standing there watching Super Crazy win the match, and then they acted all angry afterwards, even though they could have stopped him if they wanted to, but they just didn't.
Super Mega was still doing stuff after the match. I think he was walking around and guys were attacking him with leftover shards.
Chairs and everything.
I think there must have been a table because I remember because people hit him with half of a table. And I think maybe Ninja the Fuego went through a table. Someone got like maybe backdropped through a table.
Zumbido got backdropped through a table.
And
I
don't
know where the table came from, though.
Yeah, well, I'm sure IWL people brought it out at some point.
Yeah, well, it was just, it was a mess. I mean, you know,
we got the Ultimo we have to see the Ultimo Gladiator totally illegal pile driver in person. That was special.
Honestly, what can you do with 13 guys with no tag rules? I mean, it's just going to be chaos. That's exactly what the match was.
Following a match where a billion light tubes were broken and the ring was covered with glass and they swept it out. And then they tried to sweep it back under the ring, but really left it on the floor a lot. So if you were Zumbi and wrestling in bare feet, it was not a pleasant time. I saw other guys who got up and they had cuts on their arms or back because of what they did. And you could see whenever someone took a bump, there would still glass be popping back up on the...
Actually, in the main event, I saw they had a guy specifically at ringside who was wiping off Kanak and Wagner's back every time they went down.
Yeah.
Just to make sure there were no shards stuck in them.
But so I remember, I think it might have been Wagner who's got cut still in the main event. So they probably were not too pleased about that.
And then finally.
Finally. Three hours, 20 minutes in.
It was time. It was time to see Justin Credible.
Yes, Justin Credible, who had a random title. I could not figure out what it was for the life of me.
If anybody's listening, I would love to know what Justin Credible is the champion of.
It had a Canadian flag on it, but also an American flag on it, so I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure there's some Northeast promotion that we have no idea about, or maybe he went back to Portugal and won the title. I'm just not clear. He had was it like Want Hardcore or Want Extreme on the shirt or something like
something
that?
Or other.
And a Portuguese Mafia on the back. It was just completely random. They did not sell Justin Credible shirts in the merchandise area after the show, which is just a shame.
He got into some of the fans early because they were chanting at him, giving him the finger.
They hit him with stuff, and they hit one of the Eddie Kahn's with stuff too.
I was okay with that.
Yeah, she was not. She was not, and he was not, and he was also caught by surprise by doing the belt presentation before the match. He was sitting on the apron ready to get going.
Apparently Black Terry has a picture of him in it, so we must have just missed him.
No, he got there eventually, but they had to wave him over. Like, LA Park, this match, we should explain it, is Justin Credible, Canuck, LA Park, Dr. Wagner Jr.
Who got booed.
Crowd was anti-Wagner, like he was somber or something. Canuck got the last entrance.
And apparently, Wagner's mother is a whore.
Wow, this is breaking news right here.
That's what I heard from many fans. It was verified by all the fans around me.
Yeah, we have multiple sources on that.
Yeah, use that on Lucha Block.
Canuck got last entrance, but LA Park was still fooling around on the outside, so they had to wave him in to do the belt presentation too. And he could not; there was not a space for him to stand, so he just shoved the referee out of the way and stood where the referee was standing.
Well, you got the referee, four wrestlers, four etikanes, a commissioner, and various about 15 photographers all trying to get in line to take a picture of this belt presentation.
Yeah, you know, the security, especially by the last match, was not really interested in keeping up people. All throughout the night, I saw a guy jump over the rail just so he could get pictures with people easier. Yeah. The wrestlers were very accommodating doing pictures, but it was kind of a chaotic situation at times.
When La Parca came out, the drunk guy in front of us basically grabbed him by the shoulders and pulled him towards him in a headlock. And I thought for sure we were going to witness, you know, a murder there, and Parca was just going to turn around and kill him. But Parca managed to escape and then got in the ring. But, yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the security tonight. People were just walking up to ringside to take pictures and would just keep standing there. There were kids hanging off the guardrail.
The drunk guy in front of us, when he got excited late in the match, not only was he, like, throwing punches that almost hit me, but he was also – he put one foot on the middle portion of the guardrail and another on the top, and the thing almost toppled over a few times. If it wasn't for other people holding it back up, it would have just been, like – it would have been some injuries or some bad situation.
The match was exactly what you expect based on all the other matches tonight, a total brawl. They went straight into the crowd. Parca and Justin Credible did. Wagner and Canuck stayed in the ring and did whatever they do. They did a backbreaker submission, leg lock submission, but they were just basically killing time waiting for Parca and Justin Credible to finish their turn in the crowd brawling.
I think they had Justin Credible work most of the time with LA Park. He worked with Wagner at the end, but he did not. I don't think he and Canuck ever even touched.
No, he did. I think he took two arm drags from Canuck and then got out of the ring.
Yeah.
But they were so obviously called in the ring.
Credible. I think the brawling was fine, especially when he was like begging off from LA Park because he was in deep trouble. The stuff in the ring did not go as well. It was just really an odd fit. And it's just like someone went to just put a whole bunch of names on a dartboard and hit Justin Credible, and that was why he was in this match.
honestly, he went out first. So mm-hmm. I don't see why they wouldn't have just done Laparca versus Connect versus Wagner and save the money bringing in Justin Credible.
Maybe they just had to get Wagner a pin in this match somehow. So he would go ham at. This one, it wasn't announced, but it turned out to be an elimination match. Actually, yeah, that's why I thought Justin Credible was in this match to begin with. They could have pinned him and not have to deal with pinning the other two guys. But
they didn't have to pin the other two guys, actually, yes. As if it turns out.
Connect did what he's done like the last three or four matches they've had with these all guys, where he just pulls off Dr. Wagner's match at one point and gets DQ'd.
Pulls off his mask, yeah. And then at the same time, Wagner low blows Connect, but this time it was ignored.
Yeah.
So basically, the ref just disqualified Connect, and Connect, being the professional he is, went straight to the cameras to pose to show that he had Wagner's mask.
Mm.
So I'm sure the headlines in all the magazines will be that Connect unmasked Wagner and was victorious.
Yeah. So that came down. So they gave Laparca and Wagner some a decent amount of time. It's not like some of their 25-minute matches you've seen elsewhere, and it's really, if you're a fan of those two matching up, I don't think there's anything particularly special about this match as opposed to the other ones. The crowd was way into it because they really wanted Wagner to lose.
Oh, yeah, big Parka fans.
But a lot of the spots they do are spots that you've seen in other matches they've done.
I saw a couple of new ones, like Wagner did his dragon screw, and instead of letting go, he turned it into a submission. Mm-hmm. And there was another one where that usual move where he's got him draped in the ropes and Parka drops him down and said he dropped him onto his knee.
Yeah.
Then he did his little throat cutter move off the ropes. So that was something new. Then maybe they're practicing for the three-way mask match.
No, they are not.
No, they're not? Okay.
No, they are not. I have that on good authority.
And the ref got knocked over a couple times, which actually led to the finish.
Yeah. Ali Park got kicked off onto the ref. And the ref was still kind of aware, so L.A. Park just elbowed him in the face just to be L.A. Park.
Yeah.
And then both L.A. Park and Wagner got up to do the usual screw job stuff. It was Wagner pulled L.A. Park's mask first, but what Park did not care and just followed him and then rolled up Wagner for the three counts.
Which left his face exposed for a good three or four seconds.
With the Universo Dos Mills kind of eye black around his eyes, looking like a raccoon.
Yeah.
So everyone saw his face, but he's still going to have a mask match at some point, maybe.
But of course, I mean, you know, the match wasn't so great, but the thing is, you know, here in Mexico, they care about who wins. Winners and losers are very important here. So
they put over this new championship like it's a big deal that you won this.
When Park won, the crowd erupted. Everybody was chanting he's better than Wagner. So this was a pretty big deal to the crowd there. The bell presentation, everything was taken very seriously.
And it was a big deal to IWL because they shot off fireworks. They shot off like sparklers.
Right on top of us.
Yeah. They did it from the lights thing, which hanged over the first and second row. So if you were standing there like me, looking at the ring, all of a sudden something hot comes landing on your head. It wasn't like a burn or anything. It was just complete shock that happened.
Yep.
I don't know why that happened. L.A. Park got his belt. They made the usual challenges after their match. And for good reason, because they're doing the exact same match without flying in Justin Credible.
In two weeks.
They gave out the card for Reina Nessa, which was kind of amazing because they print out posters with a title rematch for the WWE Trios titles within like 30 minutes because before then they could not have possibly known that was going to happen. But
it's almost as if wrestling's a work.
It's almost. They just had a good feeling. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 advertised matches on the show. I don't think they're worth going over. I don't think you need to know.
It's basically the exact same card we saw, just with a couple of substitutions.
They're doing IWL versus Arena La Ficción, which is the Hidalgo group, that the Hidalgo building that has Kick Jericho and Gotito de Plata working sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the Resistance comes back to fight Los Fly.
Fly Metallic, Fly Star, Fly Warrior, and Arquest.
Who just needs to be Fly Arquest. We have Indestructible Blaze get to move up because of their win, I guess.
Exact same rematch.
Yeah. The other two teams are the ATM team and the Pantera team.
Mm-hmm.
We have Los Poros versus DTU, which is
Same match.
We have Guapo's VIP versus something called IWGR that I'm not familiar with.
IWGR, Black Terry, Dr. Cerebro, Dynamic Black against Zumbido, Tony Rivera, and Loco Max, who I can only assume will have Guapito with them to round out the total to about 80 wrestlers on this show.
And that actually continues, I'm sure this was a complete accident, but continues a Tony Rivera-Black Terry feud. They don't know how to spell.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
They don't know how to spell dynamic, I see. And they also spelled IWGR wrong when they did the Pantera team. So, spell check. It's not for everyone. They have the WWE Trio Styles, which is the same two teams, Phantasma de la Opera, Cerebro Negro, Crusher Proper Jr. versus Trio Fantasma. And then the main event for the, which is the first defense of the title. And they didn't actually list the champion on this one, so maybe they hadn't decided at the point. Connect versus LA Park versus Dr. Wagner.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say disqualification.
No, I think everyone gets a chance to be champion. I think that's how this works. It's going to be...
It's like the Lucha Libre Azteca title?
Yes, except even less exciting. This is listed as to be on the TVC Deportes, so it should turn up at some point in the future. We don't know. They jumped ahead a lot as far as I saw Monday, so maybe there'll be more recent stuff coming up a little quicker, but who knows. It's an 8:30 start, and it's a Saturday, so...
that probably means 9:30.
Yeah, but prepare to stay up really late, because we did a 7 o'clock show, and we were done at about 11 o'clock, you'd say?
Yeah, something like that.
So if they're doing 8:30, that's a 1 a.m.,
so overall, how do you compare the IWL show to the other shows we've seen so far?
The other shows were better.
Definitely. I said that too. The other shows were better, but I'm not unhappy that we went to see IWL. I mean, you have to experience everything, right?
So you get an idea of why certain people are popular or that certain people are popular. You get an idea of you get to see guys you haven't seen before, and they might not be finished projects. That three-way we saw with Gotita de Plata, Flyer, and Concord. If they had that same match in 2 years, it may be a really, really great match. And we get to see the starting point of that now.
I wouldn't even criticize the attendance too much, because there was something else going on tonight, that some boxing event that's going to be covered on Wrestling Observer Radio for some reason.
Yeah, or literally mentioned the Wrestling Observer Radio on every podcast.
Yeah.
They did show the Canelo Mayweather fight, or they were showing it. They were planning on showing it when we had left.
Or as we were in the process of leaving.
But it seemed like maybe of the people who showed up, maybe 25 to 40 people were just sticking around to watch that show. Most people were either not interested or not interested in watching it on the big white cloth they were projecting it on.
After the show, we got to meet various wrestlers. We hung out with those IWRG guys that came by.
We saw Flystar. We got to talk to him. We got to see Noriko again. We didn't get to catch up with the Tricerakia guys.
Arrowboy, Violent Jack.
Yeah.
Yes, I got my picture taken with them. Go ahead. Mock me on Twitter.
The thing that annoys me about just not Lucha Libre shows, but all indie shows, especially before the show and sometimes after, is that they turn the music up so loud. You can't actually have a reasonable conversation. So we talked to the Tishirakade guys before the show. I have absolutely no idea what anyone said in the whole conversation. And I was like 2 inches away from it, so I don't know. We'll get to see them again.
We'll see them again, probably RCH on Monday.
Yeah. So that's it for all the stuff we saw today.
Yeah, then we came back and we did a little interview with Black Terry.
Yeah, Black Terry Jr.
Right. Half of which we can say, half of which we can't say.
Half of which we never want to think about again.
Right. But we asked him who are some of the most difficult people he's had to deal with when he takes pictures. Mm-hmm. And he said Pero Aguayo Jr. Mm-hmm. was definitely a guy who had an attitude problem.
Yeah.
And actually gave him shit basically when he started. And don't tell me how to pose, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Big time attitude problem. Who else did he mention?
Ivelisse.
I don't even know. I've never actually seen her wrestle, but I know she's a...
I haven't. She's okay.
Apparently, she was released from NXT.
From NXT for an attitude problem.
And he verifies this attitude problem.
Everyone said she was good and that she had an attitude problem, and I think it's probably very, very true.
She basically had rules of what people can and can't do to her, and she just basically, I mean, this wasn't his words, but I'm basically summing it up. She acted like a bitch. And
these are his words.
No, these are not his words. These are not his words.
These are Rob's words.
Oh yeah, these are my words. Yeah.
These are not.
I want to be in trouble. If anybody's mad about that, they can message me. But what else? We got a Teddy Hart story. There's always Teddy Hart stories. Yes. We got stories about everybody basically. I mean, Black Terry knows everything.
Just to be clear, he did not rat out people. We just talked about different situations in the U.S. and in Mexico and how people act and how the different weird stuff we've heard about shows. But He was also very complimentary of a lot of people.
Yeah. No, there wasn't, it wasn't a giant shit fest. Don't worry. And we're still actually hanging out. It's like going to be 3 a.m. soon. And we got to get up first thing tomorrow morning because we are headed off to, we're actually going to go to the Club Leones show.
Is that tomorrow? Is that that's Monday.
That's Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, so, my God, I'm tired.
So we're going to Coaco, which Coaco. Is it 3 or 2? Two?
Two.
So that means we actually have a later start, I think, this year. Because we don't.
No, because we got to get out there earlier.
We got to get out there at what time?
We have to. We have like a 2-hour trip because we got to go to Black Terry's house and get the car and then go all the way out there.
I was expanding sleeping in.
Now here, that... No, there's no sleeping in. We're in Mexico. What? Here's an interesting fact about Coacalco. Some of you may have seen the Tercera Caída show with Matt Cross cutting a promo.
And Chuck Taylor.
And Chuck Taylor while a dog barks at them. Apparently, there is no bathrooms at the Coliseo Coacalco where they have the matches. So if you do have to relieve yourself, you have to go nearby to where there's an outhouse. But to get in the outhouse, you have to fight with dogs and chickens.
Yes.
Since apparently that is their house. So a fair warning to anybody who's going to make the trip to Coacalco. I am definitely going to piss in the hotel before we leave.
Thank you for that update.
Yes.
Or you can do it after. One of the two. Just nothing.
Well, see, we'll be rushing because we're actually going to leave Coacalco and hurry back to Arena Mexico. We might miss the opening match. It depends how the time goes. And we're going to watch...
Sorry, Zyko.
Yeah, sorry. Well, we're, you know, Zyko and Espanto are teaming again on Tuesday, so it's not like we're going to miss much. And we might only watch 4 matches because we were...
Sorry, Marco.
We were informed today that there is a show at Arena López Mateos to benefit...
Judas El Traidor.
Judas El Traidor.
The lineup isn't set, but it's a lot of wrestlers going. Right. He's got a shoulder injury, was it?
Shoulder?
No one knows.
Black Terry knows everything, and he doesn't even know. So Judas El Traidor is hurt. So we're hopefully going to go... We're going to leave Arena Mexico as fast as we can. Try to get over as fast as we can to Arena López Mateos. We might miss a match or two.
It's a cheap show, and it's to help someone out. So that's where we want to see. And we want to see Arena López Mateos. We saw Arena Mexico Friday, and we're going to see him Tuesday. So seeing all the matches, especially something that's definitely going to air on TV anyways, is not a big priority. We hope Marco does well because he was nice enough to talk to us, but we'll see him some other time.
We're trying to see as much as we can in a week, so it's not like we can turn down going to one of the most famous arenas in Mexico.
Yeah, and we're just lucky that everything's working out, because the show didn't exist a few days ago.
Yeah.
And we haven't been able to see this arena this time, so...
Everything's going great. We rode in lots of taxis today, had no problems. We walked the street.
We went the metro. The metro's really easy. I mean, if you can tell colors in the map, you're pretty much set.
Right, and it's cheap to ride, and taxis are cheap. Like I said, we were walking around the IWL arena in the middle of the night, basically. Well, not middle of the night, but like 11:30, where it was all completely dark, and we had no problems. We're still having a great time.
Our only problems were certain people who really enjoyed the show too much.
Right, basically, yes. And we're going to end it off now, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, we'll talk to you. So we have... I think our only day we'll have 3 shows if everything works out right.
Yeah, so there could be a lot to talk about tomorrow.
We'll have to keep a track. I want to go back and figure out exactly how many people we've seen, because I think the IWL show might have added an easy 65, 70.
And might I add... Or sorry, go ahead.
No, that's a good...
Black Terry Jr. does not think that people are interested in what he has to say, so he doesn't want to be on our podcast. Yes. So if you do have a question for him, anything, as relates to his job, what he does, or... anything, any Lucha Libre questions that he can probably answer way better than us, please leave them, because we're dying to get him on the podcast at some point.
That's it for now. We'll do the same podcast. It'll post sometime Monday early. So check us back then and leave comments if you've got them, or questions if you can. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And thanks for
for now.
Thanks for your feedback so far.